This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Yeah, I do know, I think, what hipsters are, right?
Yes, hipsters are genes that are being affected by a great many of our young women, and it is the fashion, and they wear these pants very low, but a troubling side effect, I suppose, of this, Phil, is that young women are now wearing their jeans very low, but they are showing their underwear, and that is specifically thong underwear.
Now, this is the thong underwear that everybody at the dance, they talk about the thong underwear at the dances?
Well, the thong underwear that they wear at the dances, they wear under a dress. But the style now among young women is to walk around with jeans pushed so low that you can see their underwear, and they wear the thong underwear up so high that you are looking at a young woman, in some instances an underage young woman, with her underwear and her rear end hanging out of her jeans. We're very, very, very much disturbed by this because I think it demeans young women. And there used to be something called being a proper young lady. All we're doing is reminding them.
Well, what are you doing? When you say you're reminding young women to be proper young ladies, what are you doing? And because it seems like it's...
Well, all we're doing is we're walking up to these young women in wherever they may be. If I see a teenage girl and she's wearing her jeans so low that I can see the thong underwear pulled all the way up so high that you can literally see the cheeks of her rear end lifted up. I don't know if you're following.
I follow, yeah.
I'll go over and I will grab the back of those jeans and I will lift them up. And I do that because I so very much believe in this idea of young women being proper young ladies. And I think we've really, really lost sight of that, Phil, in today's society. For a young woman to be a proper young lady and not walk around with half of her rear end hanging out of her jeans, I think it is time that strangers take charge, because obviously the parents don't.
Well, here was what I was going to say. I've seen this. These are girls that are wearing this style because it is the style.
Well, I understand it is the style, but it is also my right to say I'm drawing a line. I don't want to sit there and look at a girl walking around with her pants half off and her underwear all the way up to mid-back. So I'm seeing not the normal panty that is worn by older women. I'm looking at the new thong. Now, are you familiar? You know what a thong is.
Yes. It's underwear.
Well, it's underwear that is pulled right up the crack. And I'm using a term.
I understand. Okay, so it covers the crotch and.
And it's pulled right up the butt crack, and young women are walking around with their jeans half down and the thong pulled right up.
But you walking up to women and grabbing their jeans.
I'm walking up to them and I'm just giving them a very friendly. It is not, Phil, it is not confrontational at all.
Okay.
It's a very, I walk up to them and I just pull their pants up. And I say, and I hand them one of our flyers, which is how to be a proper young lady. And all it says on it is, raise your self-esteem by pulling up your pants. And I don't think that is a negative message. I don't.
Well, you've had some problems with some fathers.
That is absolutely right.
What were those problems?
I've been beaten up twice.
You've been beaten up twice by fathers who what? Didn't want you putting your hands on their daughter's jeans?
Didn't want me. I've been beaten up by misguided fathers who thought that I was somehow the same kind of individual that would molest a child. This has nothing whatsoever to do with molesting children.
These are young women that you're walking up to and pulling up their pants.
Yes, I am. And you know why I'm doing that? Because there isn't one adult, there isn't one father, not one mother, with the common decency to pull their own daughter's pants up. And so I walk up to them, I grab the back of their pants, which are generally a pair of the hipster jeans or hip-hugger jeans, and I give it a good tug up. And I say to them, You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Now, if I do this, I feel as if I'm doing something good for them, and I'm also helping myself because of my background.
Well, your wife left you, you say, because she came home and saw you.
Go ahead.
You don't mind me saying.
No, I don't. You see, you're embarrassed for me. Don't be embarrassed for me. I'm fine. I'm fine with it.
She came home and saw you in a pair of her thong underwear, and you say that you were posing around the house.
I was posing in front of mirrors, yes. I was in some kind of a effeminized mental state, looking at myself in my own wife's thong underwear. Can you imagine how degraded a man has to be?
Well,
no, but can you imagine that? Can you imagine how degraded a man has to be to put on his own wife's thong underwear and pose and pirouette in front of a mirror?
So that somehow led to this?
What that did was, my wife came home, saw me in front of the mirror. I was in a sort of a Steve Reeves pose. As she walked through the door, she packed and left.
She wouldn't even stay?
Wouldn't even stay. Phil, I can tell you something. There are a lot of things a woman will forgive. And I've been forgiven many things by women. I've been forgiven homosexuality. I've been forgiven drug use. And yes, I've been forgiven. I have to be honest with you. I was at one time involved with a cult. It was a satanic cult.
Your wife knew of all of this?
She forgave me of all of this. But when she came home after all of that and saw me in her underwear, she left. And I'll never forget what I lost. That's why I've tried to make up for it by going around and pulling girls' pants up. I don't want to see the thong, and I don't think the rest of us want to see the thong.
Okay, Roland, you got a very interesting story.
Thank you.
You're going around and pulling up the pants of teenage girls who have their thong underwear exposed because you believe that it's not what a proper young lady does.
That is correct.
But you're also saying that part of the life experience that prompted this is your wife came home and saw you modeling her own underwear.
Yes, and Phil, it's a daily battle, much like one who gives up cigarettes, much like one who gives up drugs. It's a daily battle for me. I took a pair of my wife's thong underwear with me, and I have a difficult time getting rid of it.
Getting rid of the underwear?
Yes, but I remind myself to be strong every day, because there are days.
There are days when you want to get back into them?
There are days I want to put the underwear back on. And you know what I do? I do a very simple thing. I keep a rubber band around my right arm, and when I'm thinking what I call the naughty, I just, that's a bad thing, and I slap myself.
I've heard of people who are trying to quit smoking doing that.
I do that. You're bad. Don't you think about putting on the underwear. Now, if I can help battle my own problem by helping these girls become young ladies, then my job is done. And so I go from mall to mall, all around town, pulling up the jeans of young women who want to walk the streets looking like whores, looking like sluts, with their asses hanging out, because they don't have a mother or father who will tell them, go back inside that house and put on a pair of pants where we don't see your ass crack. Now, you know what I'm saying, Phil.
Well, I what I'm hearing is a guy who's battling a sort of pathology, okay?
Well, my tendency to put this underwear on is just part of it.
But some of these, how old are these girls again?
Anywhere from, well, they're wearing them now at the age of 8. So anywhere from the age of 8 up to 15.
So you're going up to 8-year-old girls and...
Well, if they're that small, I put my hands on both sides of the jeans. I go, here, let me help you with that. And I just go, wee, and I lift them up. And they think it's fun. And I say, there you go, your pants are up. And,
You've been beaten up twice.
But I will never stop my work. You can beat me up, but you'll never stop me.
Well, you can be arrested for that.
For what? For pulling up a girl's pants? No, you can't. All I do is go over and I just, excuse me, your pants are falling down. Oh, I see. So in other words, I'm a pervert because I don't want to see your 8-year-old daughter's ass hanging out.
You're not a pervert, okay?
Phil, I've been guilty of pedophilia. I've been guilty of bestiality. My wife came in and saw me with 4 men, and I was the only one in a dress. She forgave me all of that.
But not wearing her underwear.
You got it.
1-800-449. Where do you find these people? 1-800-449-8686. So this guy's running around pulling up girls' jeans because they're wearing them too low these days. Why? Because he was prancing around the house in his wife's underwear, and she divorced him. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
But that's all I'm doing.
Okay, Roland, so you're going around and you're asking young women to pull their pants up. You know, the style is for women, young girls, young ladies, whatever you want to call it, the style is for them to wear the pants down the hip.
No, you've already told me that.
No, I'm telling you again, that's the style. And for you to go around pulling their pants up.
And if the style is that they wear no pants at all, if that becomes the style.
Then that's the style.
So you would like to see young women walking around with no pants on?
No, I don't want to see young women.
Well, I want to know where you draw the line with style. The style right now is for young women to wear their jeans halfway down their ass, where you can see the thong bikini bottom pulled all the way up so that both butt cheeks are lifted high up into the air.
Well, you know what? You're paying a little bit too much attention to 15-year-old girls' asses, if you ask my opinion.
And what's that supposed to mean?
Well,
come on, what is that supposed to mean?
What it's supposed to mean is, if that's the style, that's the style. You can't go around telling girls how to wear their pants. I mean, you just can't do it, okay? You can't walk up to them and start tugging their jeans up. You've been beat up twice.
Well, what if men wore their pants with the thong showing? Would that be fine for you? With you? In other words, Mr. Hendry, you'd like to see perhaps men wearing their jeans halfway down their ass. And what if...
No, I wouldn't. But if they wanted to do that, I'm not going to do anything about it.
And what if the style suddenly became that businessmen, and I'm talking about men wearing three-piece suits, would pull their slacks down halfway down their ass with a thong up the back of it. Would that also be something that you would encourage?
You got me all mixed.
We would all see men's big hairy asses hanging up.
You got me confused with somebody else, man. I didn't say that. I said it's the style. And so far, I don't see any guys wearing thongs, you know. What do you mean in the back of their slacks with a three-piece suit?
That's what I'm afraid of. You know, Phil, when I was a boy, we had something go wrong with our bathtub. And my mother called. Well, who did she call?
She called a plumber.
She called a plumber. And you know the rest of that story.
What, he was bending over fixing something he saw his ass?
That's right. That's exactly what happens when you bring the plumber over to the house. And
you were traumatized by that.
You bet. So what I'm saying is...
Get out of here! He was traumatized by the plumber coming over to fix the bathtub because half of his butt was hanging out. 1-800-449-8686. And I suppose the next thing he's going to say is his mother married the plumber. Is that right?
I liked it. I really did.
Great. Whatever, man. So long as they, you know, so long as it didn't happen around my house. My wife lets the thong right up the back. But that's another story. 1-800-449-8686. And of course, you know, my guys, the three sons that I have, their pants are halfway down their asses, too. It's gotten so cool that that's how I wear my pants. I was guilty of pederasty and homosexuality, but at least I don't wear my wife's underwear anymore. Guy's pirouetting around the house in his wife's thong underwear. That was the last straw. She divorced him. She came home. He was with four men, and he was the girl. And even that she could stand. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Well, you heard what I said yesterday about the little thong underwear that they're making for kids, like 8-year-old girls? Now, somebody got to explain that one to me. I don't get that. I mean, seriously, man. Like I said yesterday, 18's young enough. But Jesse the Body and Abercrombie and Fitch and everybody thinks, well, you know, the kids, even a 9, 10-year-old kid, they're old enough to make their own decision as to how they want to dress and their basic approach to their sexuality and into their civil rights. They don't have to do the Pledge of Allegiance. And why not put them in a pair of thong panties? Well, I'd love to meet the guy that designed those for 8-year-old girls. That's terrific, pal. I bet she's a Catholic priest. Anyway. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. So they had another bombing in Tel Aviv. All right. And guess what? Israel's still doing nothing because we don't want them to do nothing because that might start World War III, and God forbid that should ever happen. Just let the Israelis sit there and keep getting these restaurant bombers walking in and ordering up a big plate of whatever. How about another pizza, man? Put some of that special topping on it, and then boom, they pull the plug. So they got these bombers in Tel Aviv, and the tanks are still sitting there, and somebody somewhere figures they're going to talk their way out of this. That's a hoot and a half. They think they're going to come up with some solution to this thing. They're going to sit down and break bread and talk turkey. They're going to come up with some way to get their way out of this standoff between the Palestinians and the Israelis, with people walking into every kind of store. What store haven't they walked into? They've been into shopping malls. They've been into pizzerias. They've been into hair salons. They've been into open-air markets. They ain't been to a ball game yet. And they haven't been to, they haven't walked into a bar room. Well, they've been into a pool hall. But the thinking on this thing is going to be, just let them keep sucking on this, man, until we make up our mind what the hell it is we want to do over here. So just let the Israelis sit over there and keep absorbing this wave after wave of people blowing themselves up in stores until Bush kind of figures out what he wants to do. I'm telling you, that's what it is right now. Because we got an administration right now that, you know, I was right there on September the 11th and all the weeks and the days after that. I thought these guys really had it. I thought they had it going on. They were sending the troops over. They're going to neutralize this thing once and for all. And now he's sitting there with both thumbs up there. So we'll just let the Israelis sit there and just keep taking wave after wave after wave of these suicide bombers until Bush figures out what he wants to do. And he ain't figured out quite what it is yet. Because it was real easy to be a hard ass back on September the 20th, but now, geez, this might get into a shooting war with the Saudis and people like that. And we need that juice, man. What a load. You know what? It's the same old story over and over again. Just when they got you in the palm of their hand, just when they finally got you believing that maybe now it's going to be different, they go back to the same old, same old. The same old manual of bullcrap that they've been reading from for years. Well, you know what? There's other bigger things at work here than... What else is at work, man? There's a way we can talk our way out of this thing. Hey, I got it. Here's a great idea. Give the Palestinians their own homeland, and there'll never be another suicide bomber. Hey, what do you think? Let them have their own homeland. Here's the solution. I just forgot. Let the Palestinians have their own homeland and have everybody in Israel commit suicide. There. Why didn't I think of that one? What do you guys think? All right? Good. Now that solves the problem. That's what Bush is going to say tomorrow night, like on TV. May you, clear out a little network time for this one. I've come up with the answer. Everybody in Israel, blow your brains out and give it back to the Palestinians. Perfect! Okay, 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back to the Osbournes in just a minute.
Show. 1-800-449-8686.
There you go. The National Enquirer plans to publish leaked crime scene photographs showing the bloody bodies of two teenage gunmen who stormed Columbine High 3 years ago. And you know why they want to show those photos? Because it's the public's right to know, isn't it? The Boca Raton, Florida-based supermarket tabloid announced on its website it'll publish the pictures of Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold in Friday's edition, showing him side-by-side a shotgun and a rifle nearby, because we just got to see that, because, you know, the reason why they want to show those pictures is so that you know what the effects of violence are. See what I'm saying? See, if you see graphic violence, then you'll be turned off by it, and you will do everything you can to avoid violence. You know, that's one of the biggest lies that's ever been told in the history of popular entertainment, cinema, popular media. The biggest load, the largest, most fragrant pant load ever shoveled was the following sentence. If we show enough violence in films and television, then it will stop violence in society. Now, here's where I got to really be careful, because there's a lot of people, not you necessarily, you guys, but there's a lot of people that listen to talk radio who ain't too bright. And they're going to think that I want to outlaw violent movies. No, I don't. I think they're great. I like them. They're fun to watch. But they don't do anything to affect how I feel about violence. They don't do anything to affect how other people feel about violence. The only way you get anybody turned off to violence is someone who's actually experienced real violence. Movie violence is not the same. So you don't necessarily turn anybody off to violence showing them some stupid movie starring Bruce Willis or some violent film, you know, like in the old days, Sam Peckinpah, The Wild Bunch, some baloney like that that tells you this is a film that comments on the violence of our society, even though it was, you know, set in the Old West, like Unforgiven, Clint Eastwood's movie. I still can't figure that one out. I mean, I liked the movie, and they said it was an anti-violence statement. I look at that movie like two, three times. I don't know what the hell they're talking about. What do you mean it's anti-violence? The best part of that movie is when he killed everybody in the end. It was great. He took out revenge. It was proper. It was perfect. It was exactly what he should have done. They were all a bunch of scumbags. They deserved to die. Then he rides off into the distance. And they're trying to tell me that movie was anti-violence. You know something? Either they're stupid or I'm stupid. I think they're stupid. I think they're stupid because they think I'm going to buy that. Yeah, that's right, Clint. Anti-violence. At the very end of the movie, when you blast all those guys in that bar room, I'm on my feet cheering. How the hell could that possibly be anti-violence? I think it's anti-violence by bad guys, but violence by good guys is cool. I'm all in favor of every kind of movie, man, and I think there ought to be a rating system, but I don't think that it should be banned, especially from television. I think they ought to keep showing it on television. I just think people ought to, when they watch it on TV, they ought to get this message. A, if you show something violent on television, don't give me this line of crap about how it's going to discourage people from enjoying violence because it's a commentary on the violent impulses of people. Get out of here, man. You know, I've worked around the entertainment business long enough to know this. There ain't that many smart guys working in this business. There's a whole lot of people who love money, but there ain't too many artists. Even though they like to think of themselves as being very artistic, there aren't enough of them to go around, all right? Especially in television. Like, who are you kidding me? You know why I can't watch episodic TV? Because I'm too used to watching movies. When I watch a movie, I got 3 hours of uninterrupted violence, four-letter words, and on top of that, if it's a good movie, a fantastic storyline. Now, why would I choose a TV show over that? Why would I choose CSI over Silence of the Lambs? Why would I want to sit and watch CSI and I get the nudity in a movie? So I'm going to sit there and watch that the sort of stilted scenes they put together for a TV show where they can't quite use the graphic language and they can't quite show the graphic violence, and it's a big deal when somebody shows their ass like an NYPD Blue, and occasionally you'll hear the word dick, and so that's a milestone in and of itself, and they're claiming all these victories in television. I don't get it. They're claiming that they're really doing some stuff. Man, I watched it. I don't see anything other than like what's on HBO. I'm looking at 6 Feet Under, Sopranos, two great shows, and on top of that, they don't have to edit jack. They're giving me everything that I want and more. Everything that in a beer that you want, and it's light and less filling. Or whatever the hell that is. So why do I want to watch 24, CSI, or any other program that people are trying to tell me is just so interesting? What I want to see good quality movie violence. That means the whole, the bloodletting and everything. But even I'm not so stupid as to believe that that violence is going to somehow affect me positively so that I will be turned off to violence out in the world. Because it's joke violence, it's TV violence, it has nothing whatsoever to do with real violence. I've seen it. Personally, I've been around violent people in violent situations. It's really scary. There's nothing the least bit thrilling about it. And when you go to a movie and you see a violent film especially that is thrilling, what is that about? To the point now where, you know, like I sit my kids down, like I've told you guys, the only movie that still freaks them out is The Exorcist. I think I'm going to go and show it to them again. I love that. I love the time I showed them The Exorcist and they couldn't sleep for 3 nights. That was great. And that's a 30-year-old movie. But, for instance, I sat down our eldest to watch Saving Private Ryan. He wasn't fazed at all. Not in the least. Not in the least. Watching that whole Normandy Beach thing. Why? Because the guy has seen Air Force One, Blade, every other piece of crap. I'll tell you what movie violence deadens your senses to. It deadens your senses to other movie violence and TV violence. So somebody really stupid once said this. You know why the kids are not reacting negatively to the violence in society? It's because of movie violence. No, the kids are not reacting negatively to violence in society because they've never experienced any violence. They've seen it on TV. They've watched it in the movies. They've even seen freeway chases where at the end some guy gets his brains blown out or blows his own brains out, but it's still just a TV show. It's got nothing to do with anything real. So I say, go home tonight and beat your kids. Expose them to real... I'm kidding. Look at everybody with the straight face. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. In Central Park, New York, they celebrate 60s values with a hippie-style gathering of the tribes on certain weekends. In fact, they have the Rainbow Family of Light Gathering of the Tribes, drawing some 20,000 people for a week-long backwoods celebration of 60s values. Now, that term, that phrase, gathering of the tribes, isn't one that I've heard since the 60s. They used to have something called love-ins. You guys out there know what that is? Basically, you sat around, you banged a drum, a band or two or three would play, you laid around, you got high, you sort of walked around and shared dope with people, and it was just like thousands of people in a park burning incense, getting high, and listening to a variety of bands. Today, we call that, you know, any average concert on the green. But back then, it was called a love-in, and they would be held in parks. Well, they're coming back, and at least in New York. But I saw that phrase, celebrating 60s values, and I'm asking myself, what is that? The clap? Okay, so we're bringing back gonorrhea. Thank you. We're bringing back gonorrhea and syphilis. You know, what a cool thing. I mean, a really cool idea, except it just doesn't work anymore, man. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Having a love-in while they're flying airplanes into your buildings. There's not, you know, it's the wrong time. Back then, there was the huge American war machine, whether it was true or not, I mean, that's what everybody said, the huge American war machine, and it was doing injustice to the third world peoples while it was inflicting its colonialism, blah, blah, blah. And so, and there was the mechanization that had overtaken our society, and there was a pill for every ill, and it was funny, people sort of revolted against that, the over-sedated or the over-drugged mother and father who were out there working 8 hours a day, but by the same token, they didn't mind dropping acid and smoking pot themselves. It was, the wrong drugs were being taken. You know, the wrong drugs were being taken. And everything was just wrong with America. And what we needed to have is we needed to have a revolution and some kind of a revolt or some kind of a statement. I know, peace, love, dope, sex, youth, rock and roll. That's what started hippies. Well, now it doesn't make any sense, man, because, like, you can be as peace, love, rock and roll as you want, and a guy's still going to walk into your love-in and blow himself up. What happens when the first guy that walks into a bee and blows himself to bits in the name of Allah? I bet you the dope is better, though, and that's probably, you know, what you really want to concentrate on. The annual Rainbow Family of Light Gathering of the Tribes draws 20... It's just, it's perfect. Rainbow Family of Light Gathering of the Tribes draws some 20,000 people for a week-long backwoods celebration of 60s values. This year's gathering is expected to draw fewer people, perhaps 15,000 total, due to the group's legal battles over the need for permits for the event. It is scheduled for the first week of July somewhere in the Great Lakes region. Last year's New York Rainbow Gathering was an offshoot of the main national event. Attendees come from every age group and diverse background. You'd be amazed at the diversity. You meet all these young kids with dreadlocks in a drum circle with their dogs, but you also meet vice presidents of finance. Most involved with the movement point to a more fundamental reason why the hippie phenomenon has lasted where other cultural trends have faded. The reason is that hippie-era ideals were very, very sound. The whole movement wasn't based completely on sex, drugs, and rock and roll. The hippie values of anti-materialism, environmentalism, nonviolence, and so on are both valuable and appealing to a broad range of Americans. The truth of the matter is that there were literally millions of people in this country who still live with and are interested in the ideals of the counterculture. Plus, with AIDS... you know, it's kind of a drag. McCleary and others also point to the roots of 1960s counterculture, which they trace back to the lost generation of the 1920s. Ah, this is a bunch of crap. Get out of here. Ah, it's a load. I went to a couple of love-ins, man. I was like 14. That's what they were doing, burning incense, smoking dope. Nobody was passing any schlitz. That's when I split. I said, forget it, you know, I mean, forget it. Well, what's wrong? Anybody got a can of beer? I much prefer beer over weed. Are you crazy? No, I just do. Weed is totally anti my personality. It's a sedating thing. It's a hypnotic thing. I don't need any of that, man. I don't need to be sedated. I don't need to be hypnotized. I don't need to chill. I don't want to chill. I want to set fire to a barn out in the middle of a field somewhere. I want to lose livestock. I want a SWAT team at my house. I'm joking, of course. I just don't need it. So that's why, for me anyway, when I have my big 50th anniversary, my big 50th birthday celebration, it's literally going to be Burning Man. Ain't no, you know... jive thing like that. All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number here. Here is Michael. Michael?
Hey, Phil?
Yeah.
Hey, I just want to keep it short. I really dig your show, man. You're awesome. It's nice to have somebody refreshing like you on the radio, and we really
okay,
love
well, thank you very much, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thanks. Roger, hi, you're on the Phil.
So I was calling to see whatever happened with that.
I can't tell you. Other than I believe I can tell you that the lawsuit was dropped.
That was the funniest thing I'd ever heard in my life.
Thank you.
Excellent. You're not able to do any more of that or talk about that?
Yeah, I can talk about athletes all I want. I don't know whether I'm going to go down that road.
That was the best thing ever in life.
All right, man, thanks. Too bad I can't tell you what it is the guy's talking about, but I can't. But I can tell you this much. Professional athletes will always be a little bit, you know, just a little bit retarded in my book. I'm always going to enjoy dogging those guys to the day I drop. And like I said yesterday, and I want to repeat this, I want to repeat this until it happens. Please, Major League Baseball, go out on strike. Please. I would dig that no end, man. I would dig it just because I want a little something different here, okay? I've been watching Al-Qaeda doing their thing and our guys over there in Afghanistan and what's happening with the Israelis kicking ass. I want a little something different. I want to see baseball just slowly die. That's how sadistic I'm feeling these days. So I would love for baseball to just go out on strike. All of you brain surgeons, all you guys that really got it down, yeah, go out on strike. Kill a few more baseball teams, throw a few more fans off the scent. Hey, before you know it, like another 2-3 years, then you can't draw flies to a ball game. That's how wonderful it's going to be. Now, I swear, I got turned off to professional athletes, not athletics or sports. I mean the people themselves. A long time ago, man, when I finally got a nose full of hanging around with those guys long enough, okay? The megalomaniacs, the stupidity, the violence, the criminal intent, the just absolute, the phony balonies, and the guys that work the print press, the guys that follow around professional athletes, those guys aren't any better. These guys are the biggest hypocrites you ever met in your life. They got to, I mean, talk through both sides of their freaking face, man, just so they can keep their ass in a locker room to get a couple of quotes. They would absolutely sell out their own mothers. They would sell out their own children. They'd sell out all of their family members just so they could keep their little place in the locker room with the bench next to their favorite athlete so they could get a couple of quotes there and not get their ass kicked. So I got a real nose full of those guys, too. I love to go to the ball games, love to watch them, love to watch those apes go out there and do what they do best. As far as being around them, I couldn't think of anything more dull, more absolutely a bigger waste of time than hanging out with any pro athlete in any sport. There, have I made myself clear? Am I absolutely crystal freaking clear? No? As I was saying, Best of the Year 2001 CD, The Best of the Phil Henry Show, is available at 877-616-7445. That's 877-616-7445. This year's CD is filled to the brim with some of the best bits of the year, including our Pastor William Rennick werewolf bit, Don't Ever Say That Word, Mother's Day Lube, and more. Yes, it's The Best of the Phil Henry Show CD at 877-616-7445. Now, you can order it online if you've got a computer. Go to philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com, and order the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD for the year 2001. All of the money that we raise goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. And just to give you an idea how serious we are, I had a request from a member of the radio media today. If they said, hey, can I get a copy of your CD? I really love your show. And I said, yeah, log on to my website and buy one. And they were a little taken aback, and they thought that, you know, I was comping these CDs. I said, you know what? It's for charity. I don't comp these CDs. If I need 10 Phil Henry CDs to give to my friends, I buy them. So anybody that wants a Phil Henry CD, especially those of you in the media that would like to give some to friends or just have one to have and to hold because you really dig the show, yeah, get online and buy one, Charlie. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.